Hi, my name is Melissa. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from a critical spirit. Growing up, my life was always easy. I came from a good home. My parents loved me. I had friends. I was involved in my church and generally got good grades. I never rebelled from my parents, wasn't explosive with anger, and I got pretty much anything I wanted, but I was always terribly discontent. I figured my life would always be marked by this constant dislike of people in daily situations. I grew up in church and heard about Jesus and how he died on the cross for my sins so I could be reconciled to a holy God at a young age, but I never understood what it looked like to be a real follower of Christ. I figured if I followed the rules like I was taught to do, then my life would work out well and I would be content. High school is when I discovered my intense dislike of most people. I found it easier to criticize people than it was to try to get to know them. I didn't have a ton of friends, and I didn't care. In fact, I wouldn't have liked them anyway. I always had the mindset of, I will judge you first, so you can't judge me. I judged myself harshly, so it made sense to do the same to others. There was one type of person that I couldn't accept, someone who was nice. It bothered me when people were nice, and I didn't get it. I thought they were weird, which was a label I put on anyone who I didn't instantly have a connection with. I didn't like that nice people smiled all the time, that they were always happy. I mean, that's not real. Who's that happy? Clearly, they were just fake and liars. I constantly wrote people off as a waste of my time. I remember in college not going out on a date with a guy again after he told me he read travel books in his free time. To me, that sounded so, here's my word again, weird. And clearly, we would never get along. Kind of embarrassing to have to admit these thoughts in front of a group of such large group of people. In March of 2009, I moved here to Dallas. A few months later, I met my first husband, and he was one of the first examples of a true Christ follower that I had the privilege to learn from. He taught me about our need for Christ and that I didn't do anything to earn my salvation. Even though I had grown up in the church, I never felt that way. I always felt the need to prove that I was good enough by obeying the Lord's commands as best I could, or God would reject me. After a while of dating, we began to attend a church that fed my critical spirit and fueled it in a terrible way. I was essentially taught there that if people did anything differently than the way we did, or believed anything that wasn't to the T of what we believed, then they were terribly wrong and we needed to debate them until they conceded. By the time my husband and I were realizing all of this and were attempting to check out of the church for good, my life changed forever. One evening, when he was supposed to come home from work, he didn't. A couple of friends of mine helped me to go out and look for him, only to be met with the news that he had been in an accident and his motorcycle had been hit by an 18-wheeler. I was now widowed at the age of 21, just 6 months after giving birth to our son, who was diagnosed with a cerebral palsy and a congenital heart defect. Once again, I found my comfort in my critical spirit. I didn't need help from anybody because I was now completely unrelatable. No one could understand my life or help me through it because I was too unique in my struggles. I began a spiral of hating people's pity, hating people's help, and wanting to isolate. Surface-level conversations became my norm, and anything beyond it was a waste of my time. Fast forward years later, I am now married to my second husband, and we are having marital issues that led me here to Regen. I can tell you from the moment that I learned that this was a recovery group, I wasn't excited to be here. I thought that I had been dealing with my struggles well enough on my own, and I most certainly didn't need to discuss it with a group of addicts. I hadn't been addicted to anything in my life, so I wasn't going to fit in. I remember one night of my close group, after everyone had shared for the evening, our leaders had mentioned recovery partners. We were maybe a couple of weeks in, and I was not excited about the idea of really letting any of these ladies in on my day-to-day life. I quickly scanned the room for the one lady I was praying would absolutely not be in my group. Well, God had a funny way of showing me how to quickly deal with my critical spirit. She was one of my members of my group. I was irritated. I thought I deserved a fun group, maybe a group of women who were near my age, but instead I was met with the one person I had no interest in getting to know. As I began to work the steps and begrudgingly meeting up with my two recovery partners outside of group, the Lord began to show me the ugliness of my heart. I had always assumed that my dislike of people came from my being an introvert and that all introverts hated people. I quickly found out that I was, in fact, not an introvert, but just a really selfish and prideful person who didn't know how to love people biblically. 1 Corinthians 13 became my daily prayer. I knew the standard that God called me to love people, and I finally saw that I wasn't even trying to follow him in this area. In step 3, trust, I was met with the realization that while I trusted Christ with my eternal life, I didn't trust what God's word said involving my behavior. I had made excuses for years, saying that my bad behavior couldn't be helped because it's just who I was as a person, and I was honestly scared about what kind of changes I would have to make to follow Christ daily. Proverbs 3:5-6, a verse I had memorized so many years ago, but finally now had a new meaning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. I had been leaning on my own understanding of myself. I didn't see my behavior as sin, but as a personality that could never be helped. Step 8 amends is where the Lord really did a work on me. I never knew how to properly make amends. I figured that I would apologize and then you better apologize back so that we could move on or we could just avoid each other forever. Either one worked for me. When this step rounded the bend, I had to exercise humility, which was something I was not used to using. With any muscle, it hurts to work it at first. There are aches and pains, and you better believe I dreaded making amends up until the second it was over. But with any muscle that is worked continually, you get growth. I could feel the Lord growing me by teaching me that I didn't need to have someone apologize to me for me to forgive them. I needed to own what I did, and that was it. There was no, "I'm sorry I was rude to you because I think the way you organize your house is stressful and weird, and you essentially made me do it." There was just true, honest remorse for constantly sinning against the Lord when it came to my behavior, mental or otherwise. After graduating Regen, my co-leader can tell you firsthand that I am, in fact, not fixed. She had the privilege of walking alongside me through Regen as she was one of my recovery partners. No, she wasn't the one I was against being in my group. I did have to make amends with her, though, and was amazed how much I learned from her. I still can get caught up in my pride and find myself initially criticizing others when they don't meet my expectations. The Lord has been so gracious to me by reminding me that I am saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, and no amount of my ability or inability to follow him will take that away. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." My shortcomings no longer define me, but rather they were nailed to the cross, and Christ gladly took the death that I deserved and gave me a new life in him. I am no longer a self-proclaimed introvert, and I'm sorry to all the true introverts out there. I don't actually think you're mean and hateful. But my identity is found in Christ, and I wear his righteousness, and I'm learning how to love others daily. So faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Hi, my name is Melissa. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from a critical spirit. May my testimony of his grace in my life give him honor and glory.